Hey everybody, welcome to The Independent Mouth. I'm your host, Anthony, and today we have another great show. I really appreciate all the love and support that the people have given, man. I wanted to rifle this out because tomorrow, I am sitting with Bob Levy. We're doing a show in the morning. We're going to do a live show in the morning, and we're going to have tons of fun. Okay, so I wanted to put this out there for everybody, let them know. Bob Levy and I will be doing a live show on Facebook tomorrow, and it's going to be a ton of fun. And also along with that, we're going to start having more and more shows. We have shows. I pretty much have shows packed all the way till August. You're going to see tons of tons of shows coming out each week, basically until August. So I think the content's really good there. Also, in a bunch of discussions of expanding the network, doing syndication, reaching out and working with other collabs out there, and just expanding the show. So just for everybody who's listening and everybody who's throwing out support, thank you so much. Things are happening, and we'll keep you updated as they go. As far as you folks had heard me say, but as far as people listening to the show, and there was a person out there whose follower wanted to try and troll me. Here's what I want to say on that. Again, I just want the real good clarity, but you know, this show is about making people laugh, so let me just put it out there. I have officially now listened to that individual. I can only do it for 2 minutes because the voice of this individual sounded like two metal dildos scratching down a chalkboard. That's what it sounded like. So I could not listen to it. It did not interest me. If that person still wants to come on, they know who they are, you're more than welcome. I've got no beef with you. But according to the fans, and if what was said is true, then you can come at me all that you like. I'm going to tell you your voice sounds like two metal dildos scratching down a chalkboard, and we'll go from there. Okay, now on to the news in which everybody waits for. I thought this was actually really interesting. Just real quick, this little nugget that seems to get overlapped. Spain mobilized their army in the autonomous of Ceuta after the irregular entry of more than 5,000 Moroccans in a 24-hour period. This is according to ABC Spain. So when we hear that the United States has 100,000 or hundreds of thousands of people trying to cross the border illegally to come into the country, and we say that that's okay, they're freaking out and mobilize their army off of 5,000 people trying to go in to the country. So just a little wake-up call, a little common sense theory that's going in there. Yeah, that's why. Had nothing to do with anything else, okay? It just has to do with the fact that the people need to show up and cross the border legally. So there is documentation. So there is actual, the correct stuff is taking place. So people don't commit crimes and just get dispersed with no tags, with no knowledge, no nothing into the United States the way that we've seen this before. Now, there is tons of information. I'm going to get into this right now. I wanted to bring this up because I talked about this in previous posts. I have said, don't go to Parler. Do not go to Parler. Parler is going to incorporate and use the same stuff that Twitter, that Facebook, that other social media sites use. Okay. Here it is. In order for Parler to comply with Apple's guidelines, it had to walk back its anything-goes approach to potentially harmful speech and create a more restrictive version of its app just for iOS devices. Parler says it will start using AI to detect hate speech and block those posts in the new Parler Lite, according to the Washington Post. Now, I have said this in previous podcasts. I have continuously said this, that this is always what you had to watch out for. They were not going to allow Parler to regulate or be used without following their guidelines. It doesn't matter if it was a standalone. This is part of absorption. Remember what I told you. They either crush you or they absorb you. Those are the two ways that this works in business. Either I'm going to invest in you, aka absorb you, or I am going to decimate you and crush you so that you are no longer competition. Now, that doesn't have to mean that I take you offline. In this case, they found whatever they could stick to it to do that. But I want to make it extremely clear, there are ties to that. It wasn't exactly what they thought it should be, right? Parler was going to give people more and more freedom, and they don't want to have to check that, okay? So once again, Apple's guidelines, they put it in the guise of blaming Apple and say that this is from Apple, but the truth is they are not allowed to operate. They can't be in any of these stores unless they follow these guidelines, period. So we talked about that over a couple shows. I just want to let you know that this show was right. This show has guided you that way and talking about that this entire time. And we just wanted to make sure that you knew. And honestly, most of you probably aren't even using Parler anymore, so it's irrelevant to you. And it's really just a waste of time. But the reason why it even makes sense is if you're like, well, I don't like Twitter, but I want to connect with people. Parler's a waste of time. The name is stupid. Honestly, I said that from the beginning. Most people wanted to gravitate to it because, you know, it was Bongino and then Lynn Wood was on there and all these people. But honestly, the app is terrible. And I've said it from the beginning. You go look at my accounts. Go look at the Independent Mouth if you want, if they're still there. I got rid of them, I think. I stopped using the app months and months and months ago. But even if you go look at my stuff, I barely parlayed, or what they would say on there. It was a waste of time. I had more fun using Telegram. And that's the other funny thing. Everybody's so late to Telegram. I've been using Telegram for the last 5 years. 5 years. I've built bots in Telegram. Okay? So, like, this is crazy. Right? Unreal. But you guys will enjoy it. Don't worry about it. Like, Telegram's cool. You get used to it. It's not the same. It's essentially like a chat board, right, online. And you just have to get used to that. You're going to comment. You know, you might get some comments back and forth. It's the same thing as all of them, man. They all just are poster boards for the internet. That's all that they really are. So you're not missing anything if you are not on Parler. I'll just tell you that. Anyway, Philip Klein, if you guys remember him, he was the one who essentially unmasked Facebook and Zuckerberg donating so much money to the states during the election stuff. And, oh, Anthony, I know election stuff. I don't want to hear this. No. Look, I'm just going to give you a couple things, okay? Real quick, and I will move on. Because, you know what? Actually, I'll move on real quickly because this is more breaking news just in. Pipeline communication system is down, according to hashtag Colonial Shippers, right? So Colonial Pipeline statement. Colonial is currently experiencing network issues impacting customers' ability to enter and update nominations. Our internal IT department is aware of the situation and working diligently to restore services. Now, this is not contingent upon at all. It is not contingent upon any malware or the infiltration from the hackers last time, just to be clear. But according to the U.S. National Archives, registrations now open for public interest declassification boards, PIDB virtual public meeting on May 18th at 1 p.m. So 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m., which is today. Now, former 9/11 commissioner member Jamie Gorelick and 9/11 commission executive director Philip Zelikow will speak. If you guys go look, they're streaming it on Twitch. I believe that it's on YouTube as well. Go take a look. Go figure out, you know, if you can get some answers and see, you know, what you could possibly find. But I'm going to tell you now, I highly doubt that you're going to get explosive information that they're just going to throw out to the public in any way, shape, or form in which that you think that that may be. Okay? But before I even talk about the Arizona audits or anything else, I wanted to really, really dig on this, because I said this a month or so ago, 1 to 2 months ago, right? And people didn't want to actually, you know, They didn't want to listen to it. They didn't want to believe. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's ever going to be said. Well, we have Treadway here. Check this out. Judge orders IRS to check whether it criminally investigated the Clinton Foundation. A U.S. tax court judge ordered the IRS to disclose whether it brought a criminal inquiry against the Clinton Foundation. And this is according to the Washington Examiner, right? So I'm quickly going to pop the article up. And I wanted to just touch on two main points in this. All right, this was written by Jake Dima. It was actually written on the 12th of May. But once again, this is what I've tried to tell people. The suppression of information is not you shut up. The suppression of information is your ability to find the information. And that's really important for people out there who are content creators or people who are just like normal people. This isn't like, oh, I'm an investigative journalist and I need to do this and this is why it's there. This, just to be clear, this was written on the 12th and we're talking about it 6 days later because you can't find the info. A tax agency's whistleblower office said in the past that no such inquiry was conducted by the Criminal Investigation Division, but Judge David Gustafson insisted the claim was not supported by the administrative record and thus constituted an abuse of discretion. According to an April 22nd ruling obtained by Just the News. Oh, John Solomon, it's Just the News. You can't listen to him. That's not true. John Solomon has been thrifty. He's been conclusive. He has been direct. And he doesn't speak out of line. He doesn't make and push false claims. He doesn't do it. Gustafson sent back the case back to the IRS whistleblower's office to explore a gap in the agency's records. Now, what does a gap mean? It means somebody didn't fill out information because either they pulled the information, redacted the information, or they just didn't do it. That simple. The WO, Whistleblower's Office, must further investigate to determine whether CI, Criminal Investigation Division, proceeded with an investigation based on petitioner's information and collected proceeds, the judge said. It seems clear we should remand the case to the WO so that it can explore this gap. Gustafson added that a trial pertaining to dereliction of duty by the IRS will not take place. Petitioners eventually look forward to a trial which they hope to prove wrongdoing and tax evasion by the targeted entities and prove dereliction of duties by the IRS. There will be no such trial in this case. The Clinton Foundation made headlines in 2018 when two financial analysts, John Moynihan and Larry Doyle, said they uncovered evidence of pay-to-play and financial crimes in a nonprofit organization which is operated by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her husband and former President Bill Clinton, and their daughter Chelsea Clinton. So check this out. The pair of whistleblowers were brought before the House Oversight Committee in December of last year. During their testimony, Moynihan and Doyle said they carried out an extensive forensic investigation based on public records, tax filings, and private interviews with Clinton Foundation officials. The investigator said Clinton Foundation CFO Andrew Kessel admitted to them in a taped conversation that Bill Clinton used the foundation's bank accounts for personal expenses. Boom. Hold on. Moynihan and Doyle also said they viewed the foundation emails from 2002 discussing the deals with government of Mozambique. The government of Mozambique. Hold on. Moynihan said there's evidence that the Clinton Foundation was working on behalf of the foreign governments, even though the foundation's stated mission in IRS filings at the time was to build Bill Clinton's presidential library. Okay. You guys can find this, thewashingtonexaminer.com, Just the News. Okay. I'll include all that for you if you like. Where you can just go click it and find the information. But that's the information on the Clinton Foundation that we were talking about months and months and months ago that is now starting to possibly come to fruition, and we will see where that goes. Pretty interesting, huh? We haven't been wrong. You know, I try to keep it tight here, man, because I don't want, you know, the real big issues. I don't want, you know, people feeling like they're being swindled. Right, with false hopes. It's not what we do here. And so I want to read that out for you guys. Make sure that you understand all of that info. But now we're going to touch on something that people have been following for quite some time. And I got some Q&A. I've got some Q&A. So Philip Klein, if you remember, he's the guy who unmasked Zuckerberg and the pay-to-play schemes when it came time to the elections. This is what I found. This is what I found. He says, I have three questions for the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. Will you produce the databases you admit the auditor does not have? Number two, will you assist in obtaining the passcodes you admit are necessary for an audit and which your auditors recently possessed? Three, why, if you know such passwords are necessary for an audit, did you not reserve the contractual right to access this information in order to facilitate transparency audits? All good questions. All good questions. We'll see what the answers are. Right? All good questions. But now we find something else, and this is from Code Monkey. I know people are going to say what they want to say. But this is from Code Monkey. And by the way, Code Monkey is not Q. Not even close. Not even close. And if you think that, you have some serious issues. Not even close. And I'm not here to speak for Q also. Like, that's not my job, and I'm not going to. It's not what I do. But just what I found from people out there and what Code Monkey put, because I'm looking at the technical aspect of what was there. Voting machines had built-in ballot stuffing mechanisms, and elected officials have no control over their own elections. This was DiPerno. DiPerno is in control, or handling, I should say, is a better word, the Michigan audits. And this is directly from DiPerno. What we find is that elected officials have no control over their own elections. The Michigan Secretary of State admitted she has no control over the source code, which state law requires she keep in escrow. And she also admitted that she has no idea how these machines work or operate or how they function. This is the Secretary of State. So you have a company like Dominion that is able to set up this system where it convinces these states to sign these erroneous contracts, essentially turning over control of the state's election to Dominion. And then, if you want to find anything about the election, if you want to do an audit, they send you to an election commission where you have people, but in place of whom the former employees of Dominion. Digest that. There is a video. In the video with Matthew DiPerno, you can look through the stuff that they're talking about to give you a better indication and understanding of what we're talking about. Now, check this out. The presentation in that video was done by a team of data scientists and programmers with the experience working with the U.S. Navy, the CIA, the National Counterterrorism Center, and Big Four accounting firms. Receiving over 90% in a precinct is a marker for fraud. Yes, more people could have gone out to vote. I agree. There are certain percentages where the numbers just don't add up. In Fulton County alone, we can see that more than 150 precincts voted 90% or more for Biden. In the statewide race, that was decided by less than 13,000 votes. These 150 Fulton precincts alone accounted for 152,000 Biden votes. This is a clear indicator of suspicious or outright fraudulent activity. Those are real numbers. We've scanned 113,130 ballots. We've adjudicated 106,000 of those ballots. The only ballots that are adjudicated are if we have a ballot with a contest on it. And by contest, meaning that there's an issue. It's outside the lines. It's unreadable. Blah, blah, you know, fold in the middle. Couldn't read by the machine. In which there is some question as to how the computer reads it. So the vote review panel then determines voter intent. That's from the election director, Richard Barron, Fulton County election director. Hold on. Adjudication. The process of reviewing a ballot that may have been flagged during the ballot scanning process. That's adjudication. This is an override function that is meant for a marginal number of ballots, not over 100,000 in one county. 100,000 ballots were changed. It doesn't mean they were specifically changed for Trump. They were changed. That is a high number. The problem in DeKalb County and most likely other counties, the duplication of the ballots were done by election office employees in separate locations without any oversight of a voter review panel. So there's no chain of command. There is no accountability of what was transcribed from the original ballot to a new pristine ballot so it could be read by the scanners. Marcy McCarthy, DeKalb County, voter review panelist. It's not that nothing's coming out. It's there. In 94 precincts in DeKalb County, it's statistically impossible to have 9 out of 10 voters voting for Joe Biden. Didn't I say this? Right as the election was happening, that the numbers did not make sense. So now we'll take a look at some close, you know, some vote manipulation within the election database, including explicit vote count switching from one candidate to another. Why are there negative votes and vote switches? Once again, if it's a one-to-one, there are no negatives. It's a one-to-one. Right? Unbeknownst to the general public, votes for Donald Trump were being switched and removed from his total. Access to these counties of Dodge, Daugherty, and Putnam, Trump has 30,000 votes that just simply disappear. In Bibb County, 12,173 votes were subtracted from Donald Trump, while 12,173 votes were added to Joe Biden. How? It's a reciprocal flip-flop. Remember what I said, mirror. A clear and exact switch of vote totals between candidates. Remember what I said as far as mirror. According to Georgia Secretary of State website, Trump lost by 12,670 votes. As you have seen in the video, far more votes than that were taken from President Trump. You have Georgia, you have Pennsylvania, you have Arizona. Negative votes and vote switches. There's a video for that as well. Like I said, I will include the links in the videos for you guys as well. And I just wanted to let you know, this has not just been rolling over. This has been taking place. These are facts, people. Facts. Those are facts. That's what it is. It's a fact of what I've given you. So just know and understand that those numbers do not make sense. Here's a really funny thing, just a little bit off topic from that, because I know people kind of get home droned, and I drilled that in there, and I want people to not have their eyes glaze over and continue enjoying the next couple minutes that are left in the show. China has banned financial institutions and payment companies from providing services related to cryptocurrency. Yeah, that's right. I just said that. How funny is that? Right? They're petrified. You know why they're petrified? Because they can't control it. You know that, right? That's why. That's the reason. They can't control it. So now they're going to take it away. Okay? They are going to take it away. What's going on in Palestine and Israel, we need to say a prayer for all of them. It's disgusting what's going on over there. It's facilitated. Trump had peace. And now look what you got. You've got an all-out war. You got an all-out war. Over what? Right? Can somebody answer me exactly what it's over? Over what? Makes no sense. But it's been going on for hundreds of years. If you guys don't think it hasn't been going on for hundreds of years, you haven't been paying attention for a long time. It's been going on for a long, long, long time. Only thing I can hope is that it tones down, man. It needs to tone down. Oof. So bad. It's so bad. Like, really bad. Anyway, for the gamers out there, WB Games is being broken up. So you have like NetherRealm Studio, you have other studios that are in there, but you know, they're being bought out by AT&T and Discovery. And so we're going to see some changes from that side. Hopefully, maybe it's more games, better games, more content, whatever the case is. But that's an issue that we have going on, not something that's actively taking place. Cuomo's son is planning on a run for 2022. You think Mr. Cuomo? You think Cuomo isn't nervous? Why is his son planning if he's not going anywhere? Why is his son planning? And have you ever seen him who, like, he's redoing his boat, but yet his daughter's not there? And he keeps saying, can't find the daughter? Who gives a shit? Nobody. And nobody even likes his stuff. You know, that's the other funny part, man. People really try to put an emphasis, like, how many likes you have. How many people follow your stuff. You know that, like, people still listen and look at your stuff without following you, right? It's kind of like what they do. It takes them a little while before they follow you. And then they follow you. But not always up front. And so that's just kind of part of the deal. But we're going to start seeing some big things that are coming in. Big things that will be taking place with our show, other shows, the conjunction of all that as well. So I think you guys will have a ton of fun. But let me know. Let me know if I could do anything for you. Let me know if you need anything from me. Let me know if you need any information to get out. If you have any information, keep sending it. I love the stuff that you guys are sending. And once again, I just want to thank all the fans for all the love and support that you've given me. And I truly appreciate it. And we're here to stay and we're only growing. So I love you guys. Check out that Bob Levy interview tomorrow. Okay, Wednesday. That is a funny interview. Check it out. Enjoy it. And once again, guys, you've been listening to The Independent Mouth, and we'll see you back on Thursday. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.